the Jason Gregor Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where right now prices are reduced by $7,500 or more on 2017 Corvette Stingrays with 0% financing for 60 months. Winter pricing in August at Lakewood Chev.
Let's get to our big guest of the day, brought to you by Alberta Mortgage Funding. If you have equity in your home or other property, AMF can arrange financing for any purpose without checking credit, income, or employment. Apply online at albertafunding.com. Our next guest was at the Eskimos training camp in 2015, and then signed again in 2016. Made his debut late in the season in week 20. And this year, after nine games, has 30 receptions, 392 yards, and three touchdowns. Receiver for the Eskimos. Fresh off of pitcher day today, Bryant Mitchell joins us. Bryant, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So with that many members of the team, honestly, how many pitchers had to be taken today?
I think we might have taken 30-plus, if I'm going to be honest with you, maybe.
Who's like the worst offender for not looking at the camera or not being ready?
Today, I would have said Duke Williams. He sat next to me. We just kind of chuckled and cracked up at other things. And he didn't really get set so much, but no, he had a good day.
All right. Now, you know, you went to Northwestern State and then came up to the CFL. And you know what? I remember last season a lot of people were saying, hey, Mitchell, if he gets an opportunity – he can be a really good receiver. That last season for you, you're on the practice roster all year until you finally got in. What keeps a guy motivated for that long? Because you didn't get in until week 20. And what was the hardest part of just practicing and never playing?
First off, the easiest part was just learning the patience God was trying to teach me. But at the same time, when it came to watching, the hardest part was seeing areas where I thought I could help. You know, I wasn't so much sure that I could help, but in my mind I felt that I could do something to help. And I think that became the hardest part. You know, I wasn't trying to be selfish. I wasn't trying to be, you know, cocky or anything like that. I just wanted to help.
And when you finally got the opportunity, do you put extra pressure on yourself, or is it more just like, okay, now I finally get a chance to showcase what I can do and ensure that I don't get pulled off the field?
Oh, no. We've been working for this for years, years and years. So the preparation is definitely there. I felt comfortable. I felt like it's time. Positive self-talk every day, telling myself it's time to go. And I was telling some of my friends, when that time comes, you know, I have to shine. I have to go out there and give everything that I have.
What is your favorite route to run?
I would have to say a post route. Although I don't run many, okay. I think the post route might be my favorite one.
Now, why is that?
It gives you a two-way go, essentially. The DB never knows if you're going to run the fade or if you're going to break it off.
Okay. So if that's your favorite route to run, is there ever conversations with Mike Riley or your OC to say, hey, guys, maybe slide one of those into my repertoire every now and then?
I've had a few. Some good looks that came. The play didn't get executed.
Bryant Mitchell joins us, receiver for the Eskimos. They get set to take on the Stampeders. This will be your first appearance in the Labor Day, obviously being on the practice roster, you know, and there's always a difference at practice, the intensity, and anybody who played college, that you always have a rival in college, and for a lot of guys, they say this just brings back memories. Having been around it on the practice roster last year, how is it going to be different for you, and how do you prepare a little bit different for a game that just has more emotion than most games do?
Limit the distractions. You have to definitely come into this game with a different vigor. Limit everything. Just, you know, be prepared to win. Be prepared to go out there and give everything that you have. We have a rule, no wearing red. So we're seeing straight ahead.
You guys started on a 7-game win streak despite massive injuries. You've lost the last two. Winnipeg was a very tight game, but you know, you didn't have the greatest first half. And then Saskatchewan, not much went right for the entire team, special teams, offense, defense. It was a real struggle. You had a little bit of extra time now to kind of sit back and digest that game. From an offensive standpoint, what do you feel was lacking the most in that game against Saskatchewan?
I don't feel there was much lacking. I was thankful for the meeting we had today. It really showed us that we had some woes, but we played a good game. We just didn't play our game. We played into their hands, and there's things that we needed to work on. Being in the right place at the right time, making the big plays when they came, things like that. If we get that done, I feel like we win that game.
So how do you ensure those things don't happen again on Monday against the Stampeders?
We watch film, and we get better from the film. We watched the film today. We corrected the mistakes, and now we have to flush it. Now we have to flush it and be worried about the next game, not last game.
Brian Mitchell joins us. Brian, as a guy who's now, you know, established himself as a receiver, good at running routes, talk about the continuity factor of Mike Riley. And just him trusting you, maybe you trusting on where he, because I know he's talked a lot about every receiver likes the ball in a different place, right? Like, and it doesn't mean you get it there all the time, but there's certain times where certain guys are better catching it behind themselves or in front. How much time does it take for a quarterback and for you to really get on the same page where you know when you make your cut the majority of the time where that ball is going to be?
Honestly, you got to give credit to a great quarterback like Mike. It doesn't take long. He's a great quarterback, like I said. All he has to do is see you for a couple routes, and he knows what you like. For me, I like the ball a little bit over my head so I can run underneath it. You got guys like Duke Williams, Brandon Zylstra, who attack the ball tremendously. They'll go up and get it over someone's head. So just knowing that and just seeing how Mike adapts, you just really take your hat off to a great quarterback like he is.
What do you appreciate most about Riley as a quarterback?
Honestly, I appreciate the dog he has in him. I appreciate the mentality he brings every day to practice, every day to a game. The grit that he has. He sticks his nose into every play. He wants to win, and I really appreciate it.
Looking at the film of the Stampeders, what's the biggest strength of their defense other than being disciplined, because they're the least penalized team in the CFL?
Well, I haven't watched too much film yet. I'll get on that today. One thing that I do know about them, they got some long guys on the end. So we just have to win our one-on-one battles. We have to execute down the field. We got to move the ball, keep the ball in our hands, and do what we do, play Eskimo football.
Now, Brian, you're obviously not one who – I'm not even sure you've taken a penalty if I was looking through the list, but the Eskimos as a team are the most penalized team in the league, and that's obviously not a stat. You're 7-2, which is great, but your team has to cut down on the penalties. You know, coaches obviously will tell guys don't take penalties, and players ideally don't want to, but it's happened now for a half of a season more than any other team in the league. Have you been on teams before? Do guys amongst positions kind of take it upon themselves to incorporate like a fun fine to try to encourage guys to avoid the flags?
We just told ourselves we need to be more disciplined. That's all it comes down to, just the discipline and the want to. There's effort penalties, you know, some that you can't really take away. But then there's the penalties that you can avoid. And those are the ones that we need to avoid.
Now, I want to go back to your time at Northwestern State, because prior to that, you were at Southwestern College. How close or far apart are those two?
Oh, they're miles and miles and miles away. One's in Louisiana and one's in San Diego, California.
Okay. So you go across the country, basically. How much of an adjustment? Because obviously you're going from a smaller college up to Northwestern State. What did you learn at Southwest that allowed you then to go to the bigger college?
I had a great coach in Ed Carberry. I learned professionalism at Southwestern. I learned what it was to work hard. I learned what it was to be a teammate, to be accountable. So going to Northwestern State, we had those same expectations. So I feel like I was really prepared going into that situation. The culture took a little bit of adapting, but other than that, I really feel like I was prepared to play there.
You bring up a great point about learning professionalism, and obviously it can be taught. When you went to Southwestern, did you think at that point, you know what, I think I know what it takes to practice, and maybe it's just because every higher level it's harder to do, or what was it that you had to learn to become more professional?
One thing that our coach always said, and I mean it's in the Bible, it's to those who great things are given, great things are expected. And that's one thing that stuck with me throughout my whole career. And Ed Carberry sat me down in his office and said that to me one day. And I couldn't tell you how much that impacted my life, because this is a great game that we play. And we all enjoy it. We all love it. But it's given to us as a gift from God, and great things are expected. It's not just about football. It's deeper than that. So in that sense, it taught me a lot.
And one last one. I think it was in Winnipeg where you dropped one of the biggest blocks I've seen from a receiver in quite some time. Are you a guy who looks forward to those opportunities, or is that just one of those, man, everything came together at the right time?
It was actually Ottawa, but
okay.
I am. I love it. I like to hit. After I played corner starting my career, I do like to hit. Ed Carberry, I was known for that at Southwestern. He used to love when I did it. So it just kind of followed me around. Like you said, the cards played themselves. It was a perfect play call by our coach, Coach Carson Walsh, and we just executed.
Now, that's rare, because most guys, the joke always is most DBs used to be receivers and they had to become a DB because they couldn't catch the ball regularly enough. You go from being a DB to a receiver, and obviously you got really good hands as is. When did you make that transition? Why did you make it?
I grew. I was 5'4 my freshman year of high school. And I didn't really like the position. It was just one of those positions it was okay to be small at. It's
okay.
Hard to be a smaller receiver. But that's the reason I made the transition. I grew up. I was about 5'11 going into my junior year, 6 foot.
Oh, wow.
Was a gangly guy. So just made that transition.
So if called upon with a string of injuries, could you go play Deron Carter lined up a little halfback last game? Could we see can you still backpedal? You still think you got it to be a DB if push comes to shove?
I still think I have it. Every athlete should. I feel like I'm an athlete at the end of the day, not just a football player.
Bryant, I really appreciate your time. Best of luck. Enjoy your first Labor Day on the field in Calgary Monday, and then the rematch in Edmonton next Saturday. It's a great series. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Bryant Mitchell, a receiver for the Eskimos.